Morning, everybody. You know, we talk about following the Spirit, and everything we do is by the Spirit. The Spirit guides us, so thank you, Gretchen, for that obedience. That was awesome. I loved it. I like new things sometimes are good if that's what the Spirit's calling you to, and that's what you did, and I appreciate it. So, funny story. Yesterday, we got this new cabinet thing or whatever to put in the living room, and I'm out there staining it, and outside it's kind of cold, I'm wearing a hoodie, and I get some of the stain on my glasses. So this is how smart your pastor is. He said, I say, well, I need to protect my glasses, so I take them off and put them in a pocket in my hoodie. Well, they broke, so leave it up to me to put them somewhere safe. And I'm kind of new to wearing glasses my first year, so now I know, don't put them in your pocket, they're just going to break them. Now, y'all would have knew that right off the bat. I did not. So anyway, I got my Bible up here because I think the proper place for Scripture is front and center when we're reading the Word. I do read from Scripture, so for you of those that have joined us, I normally read right out of the Bible, but not today. I'm going to use my notes. Now, if you guys know what a creature of habit I am, you'll understand how this is kind of stressing me out. Probably God's way of making an underline in today's sermon is about faith. So I'm just going to step out in faith, and we're going to do the best we can. So if you'll forgive me, I'm not going to read out of the Bible like I normally do. I'm going to read from my notes. That's why I got this big old computer instead of my. I can't zoom in close enough. So here I am. So we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 12. Kind of skipped ahead a little bit, and we're going to start looking at the life of Abraham. Everything God was doing in the life of Abraham is absolutely fascinating. This definitely is a change and a direction of the Scripture, but we're going to look at today and everything we can pull out of this life of Abraham. We're going to be in chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to read that real quick and we'll pray together. So, Genesis chapter 12, starting in verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and in him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for this wonderful word. I thank you that you have preserved it all these many years for our benefit. I thank you what you had done through your faithful servant, Abraham. This morning, Father, I pray that we will shine the light on this tremendous work that you have done and are still doing. We'll understand that we have a part in this story, in this thing that you were doing through Abraham, because you are the same God who used him, Israel, in our lives, using us. So help me, Father, to speak only your truth. Help me to move out of the way and just simply speak what you would have us hear. But, Father, I pray for all of us, you will soften our hearts to accept that truth, and it will transform us even to our spirit. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so what we see when we kind of start in here and the looking at Abraham, this section is sort of starts this, the section of Scripture, it introduces Abraham, actually, end of chapter 11. Of course, his name there is Abram. It'll be changed later on to Abraham. But in this section, what we see in chapter 12 is this major shift, not only in the book of Genesis, but into all the story of the Bible. You see, we know that the highest purpose of all men and women, everybody, is to worship God. But up until now, that hasn't really been happening. In fact, the first part of Genesis really is kind of negative. We keep seeing these populations grow. They're not worshiping God. In fact, they're wicked to the point where God, at one point, saved the generations through Noah, but he destroyed the earth. And then after Noah, we see it just went downhill again. So it's kind of negative up until this point. But what we find out in starting in chapter 12 is God makes this change. And what he does is he decides to set apart this people through Abraham who will grow into this great nation. That's what his promise is. We know that great nation eventually will come our Messiah, Jesus Christ. Now, for a long time throughout the Old Testament, it was believed that to be a part of this this nation of people, to be set apart, you had to be born into the Jewish race. But as I said, eventually through this line would come our Messiah, Jesus Christ, and what Jesus taught us himself and through his disciples is that actually to be a part of this family of God, it requires faith. That's important for us today because all of you here today, I don't know why you came this morning. I don't know where you're at in your life. Now, maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, I have been feeling called to start this relationship with Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and you want to just get a deeper relationship with Christ. Or maybe you're here and right now you're in that season of life that you would characterize are marked by trials, maybe even tragedy. You're in this spot in life where, I mean, it seems like the wheels are coming off your life and it's just kind of chaotic. The truth is, for all of us, what we know and what we see through Scripture is that we need faith. You need faith, and I do. All of us need faith. So this story about Abraham is more than simply a story about faith. And in fact, the truth is, in Hebrews, we can't overstate the importance of faith. In Hebrews chapter 6, it says, without faith, you cannot please God. All right? So if you don't have faith, it tells us you cannot even please God, right? So you cannot overstate the importance of faith. So this story becomes a lot more important than just simply a lesson about how God brought a chosen people and started this chosen nation. This is a lesson about how to have great faith, and we learn it by Abraham, this man with the Bible describes of having tremendous faith. So that's what we're going to look at today. The first thing we see in this tremendous faith, now what I'm going to do through here is I'm going to read through this scripture. And there's a lot of different lessons you can learn about faith, and here I bring out four. And we're going to pull out from here, I hope, what you guys will take home with you, and I have found so fulfilling this week, is looking at these four different lessons of faith. The first one we see right here in the invitation, which we see in verse 1. Verse 1, we'll read it again. It says this, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and from your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Now, the wording here is absolutely essential. I want to take a little closer look at that. What he asked Abraham to do is to leave his country, his people, and his father's house. Effectively, what he is asking Abraham to do is to leave everything behind and follow him. Right? So that brings our first lesson in faith. Is that faith in God will always require you to offer him every part of your life. When we see this call to Abraham, and God's calling him to come away from everything, he's asking Abraham to step away from his identity, his security, and even his future. He's saying, come away from your father's house. That's a part of his inheritance and his future. He's asking Abraham to leave behind everything and trust him. And what we know and what we see about faith as a lesson we learn is that that's the same thing when God calls us into faith, is that he wants, the faith in God requires every single part of our lives. Now, how often do we not do that? How often do we put our faith in God, but yet we hold back a part for ourselves? It may sound something kind of like this. So, I believe in God, but in my job, I have to, you fill in the blanks. I live in a world, my job's worldly, so I got to behave worldly to succeed in a worldly job. Or I believe in God, I put my faith in God with my kids, but... Or I believe in God and my faith is in God in my marriage, but, amen? So over and over in all parts of our life, we can look at this. We have this great faith. However, I think if we're honest with ourselves, we can look at parts of our life that we hold back for ourselves and think, well, I don't need to give that to God. This is something I'm going to hold on the side. The reality is when God calls us to faith and we put our faith in God, real faith requires every part of your life be given over to God for him to do what he wants with it. That means even to where God may send you or who God may have you speak to or whatever, anything going on in your life, your trials and your successes, like every part of your life is given over to God, and that's what he asked for. In fact, you look in Revelations when God was talking to the different churches there, and he said, you know, this great letter where he's talking says your faith was so great and it became lukewarm. Well, part of that lukewarm faith is your relationship is lukewarm, and that was this lack of faith. They stopped putting their faith in him. And that's what we see. And it should be fitting and understanding to us that would be that way. I mean, Jesus didn't die for part of you, amen? He died for all of you, right? So he doesn't want part of you, he wants all of you. So right there in the very first verse, in this invitation, we see from God to Abraham, we see that he is asking for this tremendous faith. And if you put yourself in Abraham's shoes, there's what he's asking for. You're asking me, God, to step away from everything about my life and put my faith in you. Now, along with that, we can move into the next part of this conversation, the invitation we have, if you will, from God, and that is this promise. See, God didn't just make this offer to him and his invitation to him. God also followed up with this promise. And we see that promise in verse 2 and 3. And the promise says this. You step away and come with me. Verse 2 says, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. The predominant word in those two verses is blessed, right? God is promising this huge blessing for Abraham, and all your lineage, all the people that come from you are going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed. All the families of the earth are going to be blessed through you. Now, what a tremendous promise. But we got to stop for a second, because it sort of introduces us, if you will, and we're going to get into why that is. The next lesson of faith is that what we're going to find out from Abraham, and I think we can relate to in our lives now when we consider faith, is that sometimes you may think God's promises for your life don't line up with the reality of your life. You may be in a position where you say, I know God promises me this about my job, about my family, about my friends, about my children, about whatever is going on in my life. I know what God promises me, but that promise is so far removed from my reality right now, I don't really see that. It's not my lack of faith in God, it's just I really don't see how that could be what God is calling me to. And that's a reality. We get in these places, and so you know what the Bible says, and you hear the Bible stories, and you have this prayer, this thing you're asking God for, in the back of your mind, or maybe just openly sort of admitting, like, his promise for me, right, that I want to believe in it, but it is so far removed from my reality, I just don't have that much faith, and I don't see how this could be possible. Maybe my life will be better with God, but will my life be what God has promised me? I don't know if I believe that much, even though I think it will be better, and ultimately I'll go to heaven, but this life right now, I don't see how it could be any better. Well, we're not told that Abraham doubted this way, but I'm telling you what, I think he could relate to this, especially when we look about, just for a moment, we stop and see where Abraham's coming from. See, God made all this promise to Abraham. However, if you read sort of the beginning and after from Abraham, here was the situation Abraham was in when God made this promise. For one, Abraham's father was a pagan. Now, it doesn't tell us that, but in Joshua 24, it tells us that Abraham's father served other gods. He's an idolater. So Abraham did not come from a family of believers or God-fearing people. So this God, now, it doesn't tell us how God made this impression to Abraham. I would suppose, likely, here's the first God that he's ever heard of that actually talks back to me, right? As opposed to all the false gods his dad's been worshiping. But that was the situation Abraham was in. So God is telling me, I'm going to make this great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you this great nation. So Abraham, very rightly, would be like, why me? Because our family doesn't worship you. Why are you choosing me? What you're saying to me is like way removed from what my reality is right now. Secondly, now this is 292 years have passed since the flood. We're in the ninth generation since the flood. The average age to start a family, if you will, is 32. The Bible tells us Abraham is 75, right? In fact, if you read in Hebrews chapter 11, again, I think it's, I made a note, I think it's verse 6, but anyway, in the Hebrews, it refers to Abraham as good as dead. That's what it says. It says Abraham himself is good as dead. And yeah, here's this promise. And to make things even worse, Abraham is childless and his wife Sarah is barren. Yet here's this promise. You follow me. Step away from everything you know, everything you are. Step all that stuff and follow me. I know where you come from. I know who your dad is. I know the false gods have been involved in your life all your life. And I know your wife's barren and you're 75 years old, but follow me and I'm going to make you a great nation. That was the promise that Abraham was given. And if you look at this promise, God didn't even tell Abraham where he was going. He just said, leave everything and follow me. Didn't tell him where he's going. So that's the situation Abraham was in. So all of a sudden, when you look at these things, now all of a sudden, Abraham and his great faith, he is very relatable to me. I hope you guys think to you too. Because this promise was absolutely far removed from what Abraham's reality was. God was promising Abraham this change. He was promising to change Abraham's agenda. right? Here was your agenda before, what you think your life was doing, where you think your life was going, and I'm going to change your agenda. I'm going to make it something else. Let me tell you, when you go through Scripture, you find out that God is all about changing the agenda of your life. If you look at Jeremiah, so Jeremiah was this, he was basically this priest. He knew what he was going to do. His whole family had been doing this, called by God. I know exactly what I'm going to do. I'm a priest. I'm going to grow up and do priestly things. And God said, hey, I'm going to call you to be a prophet. Totally changed his agenda. He ended up being an incredible prophet. Now, everyone wanted to kill him, but he was doing exactly what God called him to do. Or you can look at Paul. Paul knew where he was going. Paul was very set in what he was doing. He knew what his agenda was, destroy the way. It wasn't called Christianity. It was called the way. God saw him on the road to Damascus and said, I got a new agenda for you. I'm going to change your life forever. God is a God who changes your agenda. So that brings us to the next lesson. Now, this next lesson, I think, kind of answers the one before, but I think it's very important. The next lesson of faith is that your current situation in life does not dictate God's agenda for your life. Whew. Man, when I wrote this down, I can tell you guys, I was kind of in my kitchen just, Lord, praise God, jumping up and down. I probably looked like a fool, but it was early. Nobody was up. But, I mean, I want to read this again. If this doesn't, I mean, it's going to give me chills a little bit. Because I know the situation I've been in. I know the situation I was in when God finally called me to faith in Him, alone in my bedroom. And I know you guys have heard the story, been fighting Him and forever. Melissa and our oldest son, who's now 26 or 27, went to church. I fought for like a year. And I finally went in, and I fought for the other year while I was there, just like doing nothing. And God called me to faith. I was alone in my bedroom. And here's what happened. I gotta stop. Here's what happened. So I told God, I said, look, I'm tired of fighting you. I can't fight you anymore. I will just let me get myself straight, and I will serve you the rest of my life. Immediately, it wasn't a voice. I just knew God said, that is not faith. That's not what I'm calling you to. You put your faith in me, and I will change your life. And I did, and my life has never been the same. I never in a million years would have thought I'd be up here telling anybody about Jesus. I never thought I would walk next door and tell them about Jesus, right? What I'm saying is God is a God who changes agendas. And your situation, I don't know what your situation is life is right now. But if God is calling you saying, I want something more for you, or I want something different from you, you can look around at what you have right now in your reality and understand that God can change everything and give you something you may never even thought was possible. Your situation in life does not dictate God's agenda for your life. This past week, where I work, there were hundreds of people let go. And thankfully, my job was safe. I'm okay. But 100, you know, downsizing, restructuring, or whatever. So hundreds of people were let go. A lot of them were Christians. And it was just, I mean, so I was, you know, we knew it was kind of coming. They had a whole month before a lot of them sort of left. And it was heartbreaking because some of these are my friends. And some of these are really, really good people. And what I was thankful for is that I could share for them this. So I got up all week for this to come up. This week, this came up. And I could say to them, like, look, God has plans for you that you can't even imagine. And I know what's going on right now is hard. I know what's going on right now. I mean, some of them are young. Some of them have young families. Like, all these things that are kind of happening. But I could share with them this truth, right? It's truth. Your current situation does not dictate God's plans for your life. God is bigger. The Bible tells us that God knew us when we're being formed together in the womb. And from that moment, God knew every moment of your life, every day, every victory, every struggle, every trial. He knew the day you're going to give your heart to Him. He knew that you're going to sit here today and all the different things going on today. He knew that from right when you were in your mother's womb, He knew. And nothing is going to surprise Him. He know, and what He says in Scripture, it tells us that He has a plan for your life. Everyone in this room, everyone who's ever been born, God has a plan for you. But for you here today, you hearing this message, God has a plan for your life, and it says the plan for good. So regardless of where you are, regardless of what your challenges are today or what they'll be in the future, God has a plan for you, and it's a plan for good. Your current situation in life does not dictate God's agenda. Amen. So this last lesson, I was moving through pretty quickly. I hope you take this stuff with you. It's so important. But this last lesson really comes from the rest of Scripture. We can look back at the story of Abraham. And it comes through we sort of referenced the book a couple of times, is Hebrews. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 has this, it's sort of called the Hall of Faith. Because in chapter 11, it names all these men, all these people throughout history that had this tremendous faith. And God used them so mightily in what he was doing. Now, of course, Abraham is listed there. But listen, it's a very important thing it says in Hebrews verse 13. Now, give me a moment to turn there if you're in your Bibles. Hebrews 11, verse 13. It says this. Talking about Abraham and all these other people listed in the hall of faith, if you will, in chapter 11. Here's what verse 13 says. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Abraham was old in years. And he had this tremendous promise that was so far removed from his reality. And Abraham very reasonably would sort of assume that, like, I'm probably not going to see these promises that God is making to me. And we know that he did not. But yet he followed him anyway. And while all those promises are true before, and all the things we see about God before, and his promises, the lesson we learned about great faith is true, there's one more thing I think we need to look at and focus on and understand about the lessons of faith. And that is, your faith in God will involve you, but it will always be about him. The promises God makes you will involve you because it's a promise to you, but it will always, always, listen to me, always be about God. When you put your faith in God, you are putting your faith in a God who created everything, a God who has he's inviting you to be a part of something that started way before we existed. And unless Christ returns and brings us home, it's going to continue long after we're gone. But God is calling us to be a part of this amazing plan, this great big God who loves you, and he has these plans for you, has an agenda for you. But we should never forget that his promises and our faith, while it involves us, will always be about God. When you are a Christian, you understand and you realize that your life is not about you. And when you get to that place and when you understand, like, my life is not about me, my life is about God, how I honor and worship God, all of our problems seem to kind of sort of, not fade away, but they just seem so minimized. And you understand, like, everything is an opportunity to worship God. Everything is this opportunity to worship and praise God. Whether it's my victories or it's my challenges, whatever's going on, all the things God blesses me with and all the things God takes from me is an opportunity to worship God. When we understand that everything about our life, our faith, and our promises is about him. The first verse in Hebrews says this: now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, but the conviction of things not seen. It's about a very essence of what faith is. By the very definition, it means that it's things that we can't put our hands on. It's not tangible to us. It's things that we read about or hear about, or in our prayer time, God talks to us and he shows us these things, and we put our faith into it, but we don't see it. The reality is that we may never see it. Imagine if your place in God's plan is to simply raise up your children to know him, and your child's going to do something great. Is that enough? That'd be enough for you if God says, look, all I want you to do is I want you to raise a Christian. And through that Christian, I'm going to do mighty things. Or maybe God says, I want you to join that small group because you're going to pour into this person who otherwise would go a different way, but you're going to pour into them, and that's going to be a mighty person for me. It's going to do great, amazing things. And that's your role in life. Would that be enough for you? If your faith only does that, you never get a chance to see what God did. But you have this role in life, and all of us are in this plan of what God is doing. Because we are called to be a part of something that's so much bigger than ourselves. What we see in this story, we understand that one day God called Abraham to trust in him. And what he told Abraham is he was going to change this agenda of his life. And through that, God changed the entire world. But what we also know from this is that if we have that same faith, if we put our faith in God and he changes the agenda of our lives, what God promises to you and to me this morning is that if you put that kind of faith in me and you just simply trust, give me everything, and trust me with everything. I will use you in my purposes and for my glory. So what our challenge is this morning is, are you willing to put your faith, that kind of faith, to completely put yourself in God's hands and just see what he does and trust him with everything? Let's pray. Holy Father, I thank you, Lord, for this tremendous story of your servant, Abraham. Father, I know that in this room right now are people that are searching for something different. They are searching for something better. Father, maybe their faith has just hit a dry spot. Maybe they feel like they're just in the desert wandering around and searching for you. But Lord, there are some here that I know are struggling in their faith. They're not sure they even have a relationship with you anymore. And the relationships here on earth are also being damaged. For there are so many different stories about how the devil is constantly after us to pull us away from you and destroy our relationships with each other. Father, right now, I just pray that those here, Lord, they will hear your word and hear your plea and your promise for them. And they will have the faith and the courage to step out of where they are, to step out of these trials, to step out of that dry relationship that seems to be going nowhere, and they will step into your promise and into the promise you have for them, and they'll step out in faith. Father, I pray this for them with all of my heart in Jesus' name, that this morning they will not allow one more second to go by that they are not walking in your faith and in your will. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, that we do this every Sunday. They close in prayer, and I stand up here, and you know, a lot of times we don't, but I just want to tell you, look, I have talked enough. Well, first off, my own life can be a train wreck at times, right? I know with you guys, it is not the case like everybody else here is like great. That's not true, right? I'm not saying there's something magic about you coming up and praying with me, but I am saying there is something about you saying, I am not going to live this life. The devil has sidetracked me, and I'm not living the way God wants me to do. I'm not living in the promises. I don't have the faith God wants me to have. Whatever's going on with you right now, what I'm saying is that is not what God has for you. He has a tremendous promise, but it starts with you. As an Abraham, in verse 4, it says Abraham went. And what I'm asking you today is that you go and you step out of where you are and you step into this promises God has for you. Now, maybe that means for you this morning you come up and you pray with me. Maybe that means you go off the side and you pray with yourself. Maybe it means that you follow me afterwards and you pray. I don't know what that means, what God is telling you. What I am saying is that whatever God is laying in your heart, just do it. Have the courage to do it. He will change your life forever. All right.